Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Memorial Day weekend and welcome to City of Champions Radio. Welcome back. I should say most of you, I would assume, are repeat listeners. And thanks again for clicking on cityofchampionsports.com. We've got everything in the area covered, from the Steelers, Pirates, and Penguins on down to the University of Pittsburgh, the Riverhounds, local colleges like Duquesne and Robert Morris. It's all there at cityofchampionsports.com. I'm your host, Matt Geica. This is our second episode of the week. I would like to thank Mike Graw one more time from Trib Live Radio, who joined me on Tuesday. We talked a little bit of an off-the-board type of show. We discussed PGA Tour golf, a thing I'm a big fan of, and also the worldwide sport of soccer, and not just here in Pittsburgh, but elsewhere. So that was a good time, a nice palate cleanser with Mike Graw, and he's excellent. You can listen to him every weekend on Trib Live Radio. A quick reminder before we get going that you can find City of Champions on Twitter at @city_of_champs_, and we're also on Facebook too. And you can please give us feedback, or if you'd like, we're still looking for more talented contributors, so you can send me a tweet at Matt Geica. That's MattGajtka. You can find that right at the top of the page where I posted the show you're listening to right now. So with all that out of the way, let's get to today's program. I'd like to welcome a first-time guest, like Mike Graw was on Tuesday. He is the assistant sports editor of the La Trobe Bulletin and also a freelancer for the Associated Press and USA Hockey. And, like myself, he's a contributor to the new DK on Pittsburgh Sports, dkonpittsburghsports.com. And good to have him aboard. His name is Dan Cifo. Dan, thanks for your time this afternoon.
No, thank you very much for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, Dan, let's talk a little bit about your role with the Bulletin. First of all, how long have you been out there? And also, how did you get into the sports journalism world in the first place?
Well, I've been at the Bulletin. It's been 8 years now, and I love it. Been 8 years this past, so about late April, spent 2 years at West Virginia University, and it was awesome. The professors and everybody down there, it was incredible, but the out-of-state tuition was a little bit too much, so I transferred and finished out. Yeah, it was tough, or else I probably would have finished down there. So, a little bit too much for me. So I transferred to IUP, to Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Just as great, the journalism department, everybody up there were fantastic. Ended up working, part-time at the Indiana Gazette and, doing a bunch of things up there. And I got an internship at Fox Sports Radio 970, which is now 970 ESPN. Worked there. Then worked with FM News Talk 104.7 and just kind of, got my feet wet, in this business doing that. And, once I got the bug, I was hooked. I covered it was back when the NHL was on a lockout. So it was during that summer. So I actually got to cover the return of the NHL and when they drafted Sidney Crosby. And so that was, wow. That was a thrill. It was exhilarating and it was a lot of fun. So I did that. And, like I said, once you get in, you get the bug and you get a taste for it. It was pretty incredible. Did some Pirate games and some Penguin games, getting some sound for them. And, it was just a great time and I loved it. So, tried to stick on, do this a little bit more, worked, got my first full-time job at the Blairsville Dispatch, which is Trib Total Media. Worked there for a year, got my feet wet in there, doing, local sports, high school sports, school board meetings, that sort of thing. Spent a year there and then went to the Bulletin in 2007. And it's been amazing. They've treated me, treated me incredible there. Like I said, 7 years there. I've covered the Penguins and Steelers ever since 2007. So I always, whenever I try and figure out Mike Tomlin's first year, it was his first year. It was my first year on the beat doing the Steelers. So that was a lot of fun. And I got to do Super Bowl 43 in Tampa, which was incredible. I got to do Super Bowl 45 in Dallas, just as awesome, regardless of the outcome, the experience. And just being there an entire week was pretty incredible. I got to do the U.S. Open in Oakmont, which was awesome.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not, huge. I enjoy golf. I'm kind of a, casual, but I enjoy watching the majors, and I, kind of get into it on that. And it was just a lot of fun to be a part of it. It was the one where Angel Cabrera won, and Tiger finished second, and Furyk finished third. So that was a lot of fun just to be a part of that. I did the Stanley Cup Finals in 08 and the Cup Finals in 09 in Detroit, and I was there for games 3 through 7. The Joe Louis Arena one. My first trip to the Joe Louis Arena was the 5-0 rout that the Penguins lost in, and then obviously they come back and win 2-1 in 6, and we know the rest of that one. Again, probably my two best professional moments, my two favorite, were being in the locker room when the Steelers won Super Bowl 43 and being on the ice whenever the Penguins won the Stanley Cup. I didn't get a chance to do any, locker room stuff. I know, a lot of media went into the locker room. I was on a tight deadline that night, but it was still really cool. It was awful to want to go and write you have this story to write and you have this deadline. And the last thing you want to do is kind of leave that moment. But it was awesome to be a part of that. And did the Winter Classic when that was in Pittsburgh. And, it's just been a lot of fun. I just love it. I love doing it. I love doing this and love doing what I do. And, it's just consider myself very fortunate, to be able to do this and call it a job and call it work. Like I said, I just love it. It's kind of, I don't know. I love it. And I implore anybody, out there just to do what they love, whatever it is, whether it be, just to find a passion and, whether it's sports or teaching or music or what have you. I found out that, doing this kind of thing and writing and covering sports was my passion, and tried to do everything I could to kind of do this. And like I said, just consider myself very fortunate to be able to cover the Penguins and Steelers and a little bit of Pirates. I did the Yankee series in 2008. That was a lot of fun. But that's kind of a quick snapshot of the last 7 years. It's been a great ride, and got to freelance for the Associated Press and USA Today and now DKM Pittsburgh Sports, and those are all incredible opportunities and a ton of fun. I got to, when they named Zach Parise the captain, I was kind of in on that conference call and got to talk to him a few times for some stories. He's been just great to, I don't know, it's just, I think my favorite part of all of this is, the whole nuts and bolts journalist part of it. I think my favorite part is trying to relay the information. I enjoy Ben Roethlisberger throws an interception. Well, okay, now I go down and I stick my recorder in his face, and you try and find out what happened, what he was thinking, and then relay that to your reader or relay that to, to your audience. And, I think it's kind of a privilege to, to get that press pass and to be able to do that and get that information from the players or coaches or what have you.
Sure. Well, thanks for sharing the experiences you've had. You've had quite a bit, and I'm kind of envious of a lot of those. And you mentioned the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Well, it's coming back to Oakmont next year, so another opportunity for people in Pittsburgh to check out the best that sport has to offer. I remember the 07 Open very well because I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan, and I was very disappointed that Angel Cabrera held on for that championship, but neither here nor there. And,
awesome.
And you did bring
right.
up all your Steelers experiences and with the Penguins too, and well, two pretty good franchises to follow over the past 10 years. So I would agree it has been a nice time to be in the Pittsburgh area and covering those two teams. Let's talk more about the Steelers, though, and you being in Latrobe, obviously, that uniquely positions you to have a greater insight
right.
into what goes into building a team each summer. And I've never been out there to St. Vincent, so I'm looking forward to maybe this summer to taking in a practice or two. But what is that like, and what can being at training camp give you that maybe just being there for the regular season can't?
I highly recommend it for anybody out there. I mean, I think it's we're so fortunate here, you know, Western Pennsylvania, to have a football team. I say this all the time. We have a professional football team in a town of Lake Latrobe. You know, it's a free experience. You come out and, you know, for all the kids, you know, anyone to get, you know, any autograph that you want from anybody, you know, just the players are always gracious with their time, and, you know, they always seem to sign after practice, and, you know, Ben and Troy when he was here, and, you know, just a lot of those guys. But I think, you know, going back kind of to your original question, I think it's kind of one of those where you get your first glimpse, you know, at the team, you get a first glimpse at the team building process. It's kind of something that you don't want to put too much stock in, because, you know, there are people that really jump out at you, and people that really, you know, you know, they really kind of jump off the page. But at the same time, you don't want to get too excited, or don't want to say, oh man, they've had a really good training camp, because it might not translate, you know, into the stadium as well. Or, you know, I've kind of learned to temper my enthusiasm. You know, maybe if somebody out here, like, you know, St. Cliff Golson or Holloman or some, you know, if they start to look, you know, really good, it might not necessarily mean that, you know, success, you know, they might not jump in. I guess the Steelers, they aren't really known, and that's kind of with this draft class. You know, I'm very excited to see the draft class, to see these guys in action, especially since they went to a defense heavy. But, you know, there's a little bit of a concern in terms of, you know, if they'll be able to contribute, because that's not normally the Steelers' MO. You know, it usually takes a year, sometimes 2 years, you know, maybe in Cam Hayward's case, you know, 2.5 years, sometimes that takes a little bit longer, or even, you know, maybe even Jarvis Jones, Marco Thomas, those guys, sometimes takes a little bit longer to kind of get assimilated. So I think that's kind of part of the training camp experience, where you see, you know, a player kind of jump off the page, is to kind of maybe temper that enthusiasm. I mean, we saw last year, you know, for example, you know, we saw, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank, wide receiver Martavis Bryant. We saw those deep routes that he ran kind of midway through the season, you know, all in training camp, beating cornerbacks. And, you know, we saw a lot of that, you know, what he flashed, but he didn't really show it on the field until midway through the season. So that kind of thing. Same thing with Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders. Whenever they broke into the league, that defense, there weren't any spots on the defense. So that was really the highlight of that camp. It was kind of a real veteran laden team. And it was, you know, two guys kind of coming in and really they were the story of camp. And I thought I wrote about them every day that year, pretty much. but yeah, no, it was, I'd highly recommend that, you know, if you're a fan of, you know, just to go out and to watch it, and to, you know, you get a first look and an up close look. I mean, it's such a close look. You know, you're so close to the field and so close to the action, so close to these guys, and, you know, you're nowhere near that close when you go to Heinz Field. Highly recommend going out there to Latrobe just to kind of see the whole process unfold.
I would love to, and like I said, I fully intend to this summer, so that's one thing I can check off my Pittsburgh bucket list, I guess you could call it.
Absolutely.
Dan Cifo, the assistant sports editor of the Latrobe, Pennsylvania Bulletin, is with me today on City of Champions Radio. Talking some Steelers right now. We'll get to Penguins and maybe Pirates before our half hour is up. But you brought up some of the names that the Steelers selected in the draft. You alluded to the fact that it was very defense-heavy. Once again, third straight year, right, the Steelers go with a linebacker in the first round, Bud Dupree this time from the University of Kentucky. So he joins Ryan Shazier of Ohio State and Jarvis Jones of Georgia in that lineage. And so that got things off to a bit of a controversial and interesting start, I would say, at the draft a few weeks back. But if you had to take the class as a whole, could you determine one theme there? I know you talked about defense, but was there one aspect or one unifying thread that that can tie a lot of those new draft picks together and can help them assimilate into the Steelers system once we get down to Latrobe again?
Well, I think that's the big question, just to see if they can, you know, assimilate and can kind of blend in with the system, and they're going to have to be able to do it fast because there's so many holes on that defense. You know, there could be a lot of, you know, just really quick kind of under fire dive in and learn. And, you know, I don't know how it's going to be in Keith Butler's system, but, you know, some of these guys might have to come in and play a big role, which, again, is, you know, we're not used to that over years. Over the years, it's usually, you know, there's a veteran here, and they come in and they kind of learn under the veteran, and, you know, then they might play more, you know, get an increased role in the second year and third year, but they don't have the luxury of that this year, especially at cornerback, especially at outside linebacker. You know, so there is going to be a lot put on Bud Dupree. There is going to be put a lot on Sanquez Golson and Doran Grant and maybe even Gerard Holloman, you know, to come in and contribute right away. You know, I really like this draft class. I really like what they could bring. You know, a guy like Dupree is a freak, you know, 6'4", 260 pounds, and, you know, he runs possesses rare speed and athletic ability for a big guy like that, an explosive first step. But, you know, at the same time, you know, a lot of people thought he was inconsistent and raw as a pass rusher. A lot of people thought that, you know, he did his best work, you know, against the kind of lesser, you know, offensive tackles. So I'm anxious to see that, and I'm anxious to see him contribute. And if he can contribute to, you know, an outside linebacker core that needs help, you know, with Moats and Jones and Harrison. I mean, you look at all three of those guys, you know, in addition to a couple others, but those three in particular, we need a big season from Jarvis Jones. And, you know, I'd like to see a big season. You know, you don't know what you're going to get from Arthur Moats. I mean, he did a great job in a kind of a reserve role, but, you know, he's going to be asked to play a bigger role. And you almost can't ask a guy like James Harrison to play a bigger role. They've already said, you know, Joey Porter's already said that he's going to limit his snap count. He's not going to play as many snaps as this year. So, you know, they're going to need big contributions, and they're going to need him to kind of grow up in a hurry. And that's kind of same thing with Sanquez Golson. You know, there were some great things, you know, last year or 2 years ago from Cortez Allen. You know, are we going to see the Cortez Allen of 2 years ago and the you know, the fourth round pick that flashed all that talent, you know, and kind of maybe earned that contract? Are we going to see the one who regressed and you know, didn't have as good of a year? You know, they're going to need him to have a big year and bounce back. And are we kind of going to see the same year that Will Gay offered? You know, or is he? I mean, I personally think he's better suited as you know, as a nickelback or in that role. But he proved that he could do it on the outside. Can he do it again this year? And what's Golson's role in that? You know, can he? You know, can he contribute at a high level? Can Doran Grant do it? I think it could be a situation where it could be one of those two dogs, one bone situations that Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders had their rookie year. There might be, you know, maybe one spot, you know, in the nickelback for Golson or Grant, you know, who it could be like that. But, you know, those guys have great resumes and high honors and they did some great things in college, but they're smaller. You know, you have 5'8 Golson, you have a 5'10 Grant, and you have, you know, receivers that are, I mean, sure, you can give them help at safety, but they're going to have to prove that they can play at this level, and they're going to have people taking shots at them. And so that's one thing I'm anxious to see. You know, I'm anxious to see, you know, Golson, if 5'8's a little, you know, 5'8, 5'8 and a half, you know, if he can contribute to this level, and the same thing with Doran Grant. You know, they're going to need a lot from Chickaloe. What are you going to get from him? He's kind of a project. Same thing on the outside, you know, with, you know, guys like, you know, Jarvis Jones and you know, the aforementioned guys there. But I think that they have a lot of talent, and I really like this draft class, but I'll be anxious to see how much and how fast they can contribute and if they can contribute this year. I think that's really the biggest question, whether or not they can contribute this year. I think they will be able to in the future, but the Steelers' defense are going to need these guys this year.
A new era on the defensive side of the ball. Keith Butler in command as Dick LeBeau departs. Troy Polamalu gone, among others, Ike Taylor too. So it will be a case of, I think, having to hand the reins over to some of these younger guys, and that puts some pressure on, but it might also refresh things on the defensive side as well. One last question on the Steelers. They got back to the playoffs last year, and in fact, not only did they break that two-year drought, but also winning the AFC North. And at one stretch, actually, right when you took over at when you took over covering the Steelers at La Trobe, the Steelers won three out of four AFC North division titles at the start of Mike Tomlin's tenure. And then there were three seasons without, now back on top. And although there was that playoff loss to the Ravens at home, the absence of Le'Veon Bell really loomed large over that game. And I do wonder if he plays how that turns out, but it's in the past. And the Steelers move forward with what I think is one of the better offenses in the league again in an offensive time period in the NFL. So I think they're uniquely positioned maybe in the history of the Steelers to take advantage of the way the league is right now, where passing is king and really offense is king at the moment. What's your feel on where this team finishes? I know we're several months out, but if you had to take a guess on which direction this team is going, up or down, what would you say after an 11-5 record in 2014?
Well, I think it's kind of tough, you know, to kind of pin these guys and kind of pin down directly where they might be. Their schedule's brutal if you look at it. But I mean, these guys have proven me wrong in the past, especially, you know, last year. You look at everything they did. They start out 3-3, you know, and they have some of their worst stretches last year: Jacksonville, Cleveland, the bad loss to Cleveland, and the win, but the bad loss against Jacksonville. And you know, they're 3-3, and you're thinking, you know, oh my goodness, they got to face Houston, Indianapolis, and Baltimore. You know, teams that were, you know, red hot, and the Steelers look just, you know, they look like they couldn't get out of their way in the early part of the season. You know, they could be 3-6 at the end of this, and they go and they rattle off the big game against Houston and Indianapolis, and, you know, Baltimore the same. Ben Roethlisberger had three incredible weeks, and that kind of set the stage for the, you know, for the 8-2 finish and for what, you know, ultimately getting them into the playoffs in the AFC North. And I think that has to be a trend this year. They're going to have that offense carry them this year. It's kind of different because, you know, throughout Ben Roethlisberger's term, as quarterback of this team, it's always been defensive-led, and it's always been the defense kind of carrying them, veteran-laden Casey Hansen, Brett Kiesel, you know, Aaron Smith and Polamalu and Taylor, and just all those names, and you know, James Ferrier and Harrison, and I guess Harrison's still here, but just all those names, you know, it's always been defense heavy, and you know, like I referred to the 1 year, you know, I think it was Sanders' rookie year, you know, Sanders and Brown, there weren't any spots to be filled. You know, they returned all their starters on defense, and it was really that way. You know, but then we saw, you know, kind of gradually the change, and I think we're still kind of watching, you know, the shift, and it's probably complete now, the shift in this defense, and all of the, essentially all of those names are gone, you know, those big names, and now it's up to Ben Roethlisberger, and he kind of saw that, and a handful of years ago, you know, he took on the role, and he's, you know, this is clearly his team, but more so now than ever, it's this offensive team, and they've produced, you know, Antonio Brown was arguably the best receiver in the NFL, and it's cool. Another one of those little training, you know, training camp, you know, things is, it was really nice for me. I kind of, you know, I mean, I kind of saw something like this coming. It didn't surprise me that Antonio Brown had that good of a year, because it was almost like every time that those two had a free second, they were always working on something. It was just really nice to see and observe, you know, there'd be another drill going on, or, you know, the coaching staff working with younger players. And there's, you know, they're not sitting on their helmet. There's Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown working on, you know, sideline routes, just throwing, or it was just real nice to see. And you kind of saw that. You saw that symmetry between them. So, you know, it really wasn't that surprising that he had that great of a year. I mean, you know, he was phenomenal, and those two just have such great chemistry together, that it's just really that those two kind of made the offense go, and everybody followed suit. But they have so much talent on that offense, you know, with Ben and him leading the way, and still one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, improving it, You know, I think this city is very lucky to have a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, and I think they kind of proved that. They had the joint practice with the Bills coming in, and everybody kind of raved. And, you know, there were a lot of those Ben Roethlisberger, E.J. Manuel stories. So I think the Browns really fortunate to have. Yeah, I mean, it really was. And the Buffalo beat writers came in, and they were just, you know, kind of in awe, you know, and amazement and wonderment with, you know, a guy like Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, and that, you know, that's really kind of how it looked, you know, in that. But, you know, but you have Ben, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and Antonio Brown really had, you know, a breakout season, is one of the best. And, I mean, I think this wide receiver core is loaded. Like to see a little bit more from Marcus Wheaton, but he had a great bounce back year. He really kind of struggled with injury, you know, his first year, but had a great bounce back season and, you know, really nice contributions. And then, you know, you have a guy, you know, you add in a guy like Coates, and you have a guy like Martavis Bryant, who's only going to get better. You know, kind of two deep route guys in Bryant and you know, a guy like Coates. I'd like to see a little bit more out of Bryant this year in terms of different routes, underneath routes, and slants and things like that. I'd like to see him do that a little bit better. You know, they have a guy like Coates now. He's more of a deep guy, and, you know, he did so much in college, you know, in the deep route. But I think that wide receiver core is loaded. And, you know, I think that, you know, bringing in a guy like Williams is, you know, adds to the depth, because they really didn't have much. You know, sure, Bell is arguably, you know, the best running back in the NFL, and arguably the best, you know, the best at just, you know, out of the backfield too. But, you know, if he gets injured, he had a, you know, some knee issues, and you had some injury problems early in his career, and you know, missed that playoff game too. So, you know, if he gets injured, they don't have too much behind them. So I thought it was a great move to bring in a guy like Williams, you know, a guy who's proven, a veteran guy. And I thought that was a better move. You know, I had discussions, and, you know, oh, should they go through the draft? Or, I mean, I really think you have to give those guys time to learn. So I thought it was a great move to bring in a veteran, a guy who's kind of been there. So I think the, you know, kind of long story short, the offense is loaded, and there's a ton of weapons, especially at wide receiver right now. You know, and not only that, I mean, you look at the offensive line. It's been kind of an Achilles heel for a long time, you know, kind of the butt of a lot of jokes. Oh, well, they don't have a really good offensive line. Well, they do. You know, a lot of early round picks, Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, you know, Marcus Gilbert, and, you know, the only two that really aren't early round picks are Foster and Beecham, but they have, you know, been every bit as steady, and this is a great group that the Steelers have. So like I said, I think they're loaded, but I think they have a little bit of depth issues, particularly, you know, say if a guy like Ben gets hurt, I think Gradkowski is serviceable, but, you know, I think they have a little bit of issues there, and I think they have some issues at depth on the line and some issues at depth at running back, like I said before. But if all these guys are healthy, they're every bit as good as any offense in the NFL, and they're going to have to be the group that carries this team, because this schedule is loaded, and, you know, these guys can't afford to get off to a bad start or struggle early, because there's, you know, four of the last six are away from home, and, you know, they have some tough challenges ahead there in that schedule. The schedule's brutal, so you know, they have to kind of take care of business early, and, you know, can't afford to kind of stumble early.
Well, a difficult schedule, and also last year, in case we forget, both wild card teams in the AFC came out of the North Division. So it was the Steelers at 11-5, the Ravens at 10-6, who played at Pittsburgh, of course, and scored the upset win there, and the Bengals at 10-5-1, so they were right there a half game behind. And just getting back to our point about the offense being powerful, the Steelers scored 436 points in 2014. That was the fourth most in the AFC. Their defense, 368 allowed. That was somewhere in the middle of the pack. I have a feeling it's going to be more dependent on the offense, especially early, as you talked about with some of those home games too, to take advantage of that and build up a nice cushion, one that they didn't really have last year until very late on. And, of course, the division was up for grabs until the final week of the season, which makes it exciting, and that's usually how it goes in the NFL when you only have 16 games to create that kind of separation. But that's it for the Steelers. We'll talk more about them as the summer goes along. Just a couple of minutes left, Dan. I want to get your quick feelings on the Penguins. You've written, we talked about for USA Hockey. You've covered the Pens at various events, big and small. So what did you think the primary issue was late in the season? Was it injuries? Was it perhaps teams catching up to the Mike Johnston system of play? How would you gauge how this team went from one of the best records in the NHL through November, actually through the end of December, it was right up there, to barely making the playoffs? And although they were 5-1 goal games in the first round against the Rangers, they were still not close enough, not good enough to get some of those decisive plays that the Rangers did, and they went down in five games in the first round. That's their earliest exit in quite some time.
I think it was hard for these guys this year, you know, because you're missing a puck mover like Letang. I think Letang's injury really hurt these guys this year, and I think not having a guy like Olimata and just, you know, just those puck movers, you can't really you can't really get the puck moving the other way whenever, you know, you have to go in and retreat and their forecheckers are pounding your defensemen. So I think they almost had to adjust what they were doing and have their forwards come back and help even more and get involved in the breakout even more and help defensively even more because, you know, they didn't have guys like Letang to go the other way, you know, fast and get the puck moving in just that transition game. So I think that really hurt them. But again, I don't know. I think if you look at it, you look at the Penguins, I wouldn't blame it all on injury because they had a higher number of man games lost. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but they had a higher number of man games lost 2 years ago. And they were one of the top seeds in the conference. So I think you look at it and they had a lower number of man games lost and they still had significant injuries throughout the year. But, you know, you look at the number of man games lost and what they did with that last year, I don't think I would attribute that all to injury, but I think the Letang injury was big. But I don't think, you know, we heard a lot of that. We heard, oh, well, they would have had Dupuy and they would have, you know, all these injury excuses, but they had the same thing last year. So I really don't quite get that. The only issue that I had with, you know, with Letang is they just couldn't really get the puck moving the other way. I was really disappointed to see these guys at the end of the year pretty much back into the playoffs the way that they did and have the schedule that they did and face the teams that they did. It really wasn't too daunting of a schedule. And yet here they are getting into the playoffs on the last day against the worst team in the league. And it wasn't really easy either. I mean, they really kind of grabbed hold of that game in the second period against Buffalo, and Buffalo really didn't have a lot, you know, to come back. So I think it was just a really underwhelming team to watch. One of the more underwhelming teams, you know, underwhelming Penguins teams that we've seen in recent years. And I think these guys need more scoring and more help, and that includes Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. Sid had a great year, but he didn't look like the Sidney Crosby of old, and there were a lot, you know, surrounding Malkin and you know, his ankle and, you know, potential injuries. But I think these guys need to score more. I thought Hornquist was very, very good in the playoffs, you know, and I thought he really, you know, he really was great down the stretch, too, one of the few Penguins who, you know, him and Sid were great down the stretch. But, I mean, they need more from Kunitz, and I don't know if they're going to get much more from Kunitz this year. You know, he had that long slump that was, you know, was talked about. But, you know, getting paid almost $4 million and they still have a couple of years left on his contract. You know, and again, with a guy like David Perron, they need him to score. They gave up a first-round pick for him. And, you know, he was great early and great in that first month or two of the season, but he kind of fell off a cliff. And he, you know, wasn't really noticed. And, you know, there's only so much you could do. I mean, those are your top guys, and they just need more scoring. You know, I don't think that was their issue in the playoffs. I thought they really played about as good as they could against the playoffs, and that's a really good Rangers team. So there wasn't too much they could do, you know, in the transition, you know, with those guys. But, I thought they played great in the playoffs, but they need more scoring. It's hard to say, you know, that, oh, they need more scoring. That's the reason why they lost, because those games were so, you know, defensive-minded, defensively structured. But you know, Sid needs help and Gino needs help and they need to score too. So I really think that that was their issue, and it's going to be really difficult for them to, you know, make changes and, you know, make those wholesale changes and you know, maybe do something in the off season. You know, everybody says, oh, well, why don't you do something in the off season, add this and add that. And that's going to be hard to do because you have, you know, huge contracts, like for a guy like Kunitz and a guy like Scuderi and just kind of albatrosses that they have, not the contracts. They're just very, they really, really kind of hamstring the team and what it can do. And not just that, but there's not too many, you look at the free agent list and there's not really too much there. And then what can you add? You know, can you add a high priced, you know, player? Well, there's not too much room. You know, sure, they can clear the contracts of guys like Paul Martin and you know, Christian Ehrhoff and those kind of guys. But, you know, again, like I said, you know, really there's not too many attractive options, you know, in free agency too. So I think, you know, that you're going to have some, you know, they have some tough decisions to make and, you know, some tough decisions to make in the offseason. But this is going to be largely, I think, you know, largely I think that you're going to see a lot of the same cast, at least the primary players. You're going to see a lot of those guys return this year. And, you know, these guys are going to have to do it again, especially if it's this group. And, you know, oh, well, you know, let's get a winger for Sid or a winger for Gino. Well, this might be what it gets, and that's kind of what you have in the NHL. And, you know, whenever you have a salary cap like this and you're paying that much money to those two guys, you know, that's just kind of what you have and what you have to work with. And those guys are going to have to make it happen. You know, even, you know, guys like Perron, Kunitz, those types of players, you know, they're going to have to kind of go with you know, what this group's had and what they offer. And like I said, they proved it early in the season. You know, they were one of the best in the NHL and kind of tailed off from kind of December on. But we'll see if likely this group can do it again. It's a long way off, but, you know, you can always – why not check it out and see how it unfolds already.
I still think if you give me that team with a healthy Letang and a healthy Olimata, they're going to do pretty well in the playoffs. I would have liked their chances, not just to beat the Rangers, but to move on further. And you can't do anything about that. And at some point, that excuse or that explanation, whatever you want to call it, gets a little tedious. But if you look back at the past 5 years, I saw a chart recently. The Penguins are one of the most injured teams in the league since 2010-11 when they made that move over to Consol Energy Center. Coincidentally or not, that was when their injury luck, injury fortune had started to really go downhill. And it all started with, of course, Sidney Crosby being out for almost an entire season's worth of play. And it hasn't really improved much since. And there's not a lot you can say beyond they need to be healthy. And that's a huge part of it. And I keep wondering, though, if Jim Rutherford, who has been very willing to make trades, if he's got a big one up his sleeve this summer to try to remake this team. But then I look back and I say they were great when they were healthy. So I would like to see – I'm just glad that they're bringing back the leadership group. I think it's fairly clear they're going to bring back Crosby, Malkin, Chris Letang. Hopefully he's ready to go for training camp. And Marc-Andre Fleury had probably his best year as a pro. And then you got Jim Rutherford and Mike Johnston, rather, at the top. So – guys that are bringing back, they're going to give them a second shot. I think they deserve at least that much. And much Absolutely. Like with the Steelers, we have plenty of time to turn this one over in our minds as the summer goes along. Well, Dan, we are out of time, so thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate that. We'll have to have you back on City of Champions Radio. And I hope you have a good weekend. I know you got some work ahead of you tonight. So thank you for sparing just about a half an hour here with us on this Friday.
Yeah, no problem. No, thanks for having me on. And, you know, anytime, anything you need, you know, definitely let me know. I greatly appreciate it.
That's Dan Cifo again, the assistant sports editor of the Latrobe Bulletin, and he'll be covering the Steelers on a freelance contributing basis with DK on PittsburghSports.com, in addition to his work with the Bulletin and Associated Press, USA Hockey. Look for his stuff there too. We'll talk to you next week here on City of Champions Radio. We'll have another couple of shows for you lined up. The Pittsburgh Sports Talk will continue on. Thank you for continuing to visit City of Champions at cityofchampionsports.com. This has been Matt Geica, your host, reminding you that when the radio fades, you know life's moving fast. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to you as the summer begins unofficially next week.